Welcome to the 8th episode of Tales of Our Sisters, a podcast exploring the art within numerous forms of storytelling from the worlds lived and told by Black women storytellers. I'm your host, Cynthia Francelon, and thank you so much for tuning in. Guys, it's been so long. How are you? I'm saying, how are you? As if you're literally going to be able to talk back to me, but I do hope that in me asking that question, you are genuinely thinking of the answer. Really, how are you? Happy New Year. It is 2022. We have been 2 years into the pandemic, and it is fascinating to me to see how the world has shifted and changed, how we as people, as communities have shifted and changed, how stories, movies, television, you know, how podcasts have taken over and have reintroduced people to what we used to know as radio and, you know, audio plays and all of these amazing things. And it's so cool to see how storytelling has expanded and continues to expand. And honestly, when I think about it, I did not intend to reflect on what the pandemic has done and how it shifted us. And in many ways, we already know how it has shifted us negatively. A lot of people, not even a lot of people, I think all of us have been drastically changed by what the pandemic has done. I will say, I am intrigued and even impressed with the way in which a lot of us have been able to adapt. And not just adapt, but have found ways to either make it work as best as we can, to keep pushing, or it's kind of woken us up into realizing that life really can be short. And I was not living my life properly. I was living my life as robotic as possible. And we are kind of peeping game if we haven't before, because we were too busy on autopilot. We have peeped game to the way in which our society has not nurtured our capabilities of being our best selves. So the pandemic really shook a lot of us. I know for me, when the pandemic happened, amongst everybody that I knew, I was able to really come alive. Prior to it, I was in a very stagnant state. And I guess it's because of the fact that the pandemic kind of forced everybody to be very still and to kind of reflect a lot, which is something I do all the time, stillness and reflection. It brought the world to my pace. And I guess because it brought the world to my pace, I was able to accelerate. My creativity really took a mind of its own. And I woke up to realizing that the only way for me to create a life for myself that felt substantial was that I had to move. I had to act. I don't want to say be aggressive. It's not really aggression. It's more so there is a flame. We all have a flame. And for a while it wasn't nurtured, or I didn't know how to nurture it. I was in a different state of things. But then my creativity brought me back, or more so it reintroduced me to myself. It reminded me of who I was as a kid, this eager, curious person who was always trying different things. She was going to shoot the shit regardless, right? And so the pandemic really forced me to go back to being that kind of person in a different way, in a new way. And I think that was the beauty of it. There is a part of me that met me then and now, especially artistically. And being able to thrive. I was making my website. I was writing all the time. I was taking pictures and doing edits and making calligraphy and writing short stories and even editing those short stories. I started really paying attention to what it is that I wanted from my podcast. And so many things that I was afraid to do, I was able to start doing. And this is not to say that the pandemic didn't hurt me. You know, I was living in a household where my mother is very, she works in the hospital. She works in the ICU. And there were many, many moments where I saw her struggle to not break. And still, there were times where she had to break. And I've never seen my mother break like that before. It was being around people that were not at my pace, that didn't know how to cope with not having things to do, not being able to leave the house, not being able to see their families and their friends. There were so many things happening around me that even if they weren't happening directly to me, there was still an effect that was happening because these are people in my orbit. These are people in my lives. You know, we are in community with each other. What happens to one of us, it can happen to all of us. So this is not to say that I wasn't drastically affected by the pandemic, because in many ways I was. But in other ways, it helped. That urgency shifted something in me. And I began to realize, just like when I realized before entering grad school that I wanted to be in it. I wanted my life to be a creative life. I wanted my profession to be creativity, to be storytelling. Just like I had that realization. And being reminded who I was and what my goals in life are. I know that my primary goal is to tell stories and to hold up the mirror to my people and to anybody else willing to look. And so since then, you guys have met me while I was living in New Orleans. Since January of this year, I have moved out of New Orleans and I'm now living in Los Angeles because New Orleans did a beautiful job at not only nurturing my creativity, but also nurturing who I am as a woman, who I am as a person, who I am as a being meant to take care of herself and to know what that looks and feels like and how to grow confidence out of that. And I'm so thankful for my time in New Orleans teaching me that. And I remember turning 30 and knowing that I had to move to a place outside of my comfort. And I remember wanting to move to New Orleans off vibes alone. I wasn't even anticipating everything that happened to me to happen. But it happened and it changed my life. So much so that the stamina that I built in living my dreams on sets, movies, and television, meeting a lot of people that work in that domain, getting advice from them, having them get to read my work and say, this is great. Ooh, you could work a little more on this. It just kept telling me, Cynthia, you have to keep going. And mind you, I remember just feeling so conflicted because I said to myself, well, I just got here. It's only been a year and like a month or two. How can I be ready to move again? You know, especially to Los Angeles. You know, Los Angeles is a lot different than the vibes that New Orleans had provided me. Even the safety in some ways that New Orleans had provided me. It gave me a place for community, for groundedness, for art, for creativity, for art, for food, for exploration of the self. And I just said to myself, well, how can I already be eager to move? Like there was something in my body that just kept telling me like, okay, Sam, well, we gotta go. And I'm just like, well, where are we going and why? Why does it have to happen so soon? And I realized that it's happening so soon and it's happening so fast because once I dedicated myself to living a creative life, these were the sacrifices. And mind you, the sacrifices aren't even sacrifices. Sometimes it doesn't even feel like a sacrifice. My life is so full now that whatever comes to me, especially in the creative field, I'm just like, okay, let's do it. Let's get into it. Because to be a writer through and through, I have never wavered. Not once. I grew up as a kid writing stories, then fan fiction, then my own original work. When I got to undergrad, I decided to study journalism because I liked blogging. I was blogging before that. I liked blogging so much and I liked informing people of news that I said, oh, why don't I go to journalism? And then I went to journalism and I did that. And it was in taking media arts classes that I began to really dig into film. And I got back in touch with my fiction, being able to write fiction and poetry. And I started to incorporate that into filmmaking. I started working freelance for a lot of film festivals and online media networks while still writing my fiction. And then I decided I really want to hone in on this. I decided that through all of that, that this was my life. I can't not be a storyteller. This is all I do. In every single medium I touch, I try to tell a story. So I have to commit to it. And I think I really made that commitment when I decided to go to grad school with the concentration of screenwriting. Knowing that I was going to be around people that solely did what I did. Undergrad is, there's a lot more leeway. There's required classes that you have to take. There's electives. There's all these extra things. But when you're in grad school, especially if you are going to grad school for a particular concentration, all you're focusing on is this. And I told myself that if what I want to do is be a storyteller, particularly in film, that I have to dedicate myself to this. I have to throw myself in this. And since then, I've continuously thrown myself in this. My life is constantly creative. That dedication, it only makes sense for when it was slow, it's slow. But then when it was fast, when it was my time, that it just came pushing. It only makes sense. And so the thing about living a creative life is that once you decide that your life is going to be creative, you have to surrender to that decision. You have to make time for that decision. Even if, you know, for me, I have parents that were very supportive and eager to see what I would do with this gift because they saw that I had the gift. And my father is somebody who doesn't believe in not being able to make it in whatever it is that you do. He's like, okay, well, if this is what you want to do, all right, so let's look at these movie directors and let's look at these shows and let's look at these books. And he was very much, okay, if this is your decision, we're going to go hard. When I decided to move to New Orleans, he's like, all right, I'm just happy in knowing that you're moving. You're choosing something for yourself. You are choosing a life for yourself. So to choose a creative life for yourself means to put yourself first, to put your imagination first, your creativity first. And you guys already know how I feel about imagination, creativity. I'm obsessed with talking about it. I could talk about it forever because I really do believe in nurturing that. That is the primary flame igniter to me. It's your imagination. And a lot of times we use it for bad and not for good. And I'm always eager in trying to find ways to use it for good. But most importantly, I know a lot of us want to do the creative thing. A lot of us work jobs that interrupt that. A lot of us have mentalities that interrupt the ability to just create freely. And so we kind of just fall back to the comfort of the familiar, what we're used to doing, what our body just knows how to do. And so I say this with all of the fire in my belly. If you want your life to be creative, you have to commit to it. And that commitment doesn't have to be that you throw your whole current life away. It doesn't have to be that drastic. That's a very big shock to your system. It doesn't have to be that drastic. But you do have to understand that unless you incorporate creativity intentionally into your life, you will never know how to live a life that is creative. Creativity will always feel like a burden or something that's getting in the way or something that feels tedious when creativity should be your playground. It should be the place that you feel the most free to be yourself, right? Not too long ago, before I moved to Los Angeles, while I was still in the throes of packing, I got the opportunity to be interviewed by Jonica Rivers and Gabrielle Hickman. And they are these two Black women writers who created this platform called Artists We Will Be. And it's very much in the lexicon of what Tales of Our Sisters is. You know, it is a collective and salon that explores the work and interior lives of Black women artists and cultural workers. And so I'm guessing because of the fact that we are in the same lexicon, they definitely called on me and they said, hey, we'd love for you to be a guest on our Twitter space talk, talking about the first episode that I had for Tales of Our Sisters, which is Expression is Our Birthright. And one of the questions that they had for me was, how do I live a creative life? And I love that question. I love it because you don't have to devote your entire career or your life to it. And it's not to say that, you know, living a creative life means that all of your life is dedicated to creativity. No, it's definitely not that. But what it is making space to play. One of the things that I told Jonica and Gabrielle was that cooking can be very creative. Painting can be very creative. Pulling out your iPhone and taking pictures can be very creative. Going for a walk and putting on a really dope playlist and that kind of makes you feel good as you're walking, as if you're walking a runway or as if you're in a scene of a movie about your life, that's creative. The point is using creativity to ignite your imagination, to make your life brighter, fuller, more romantic, more sensory. It's that. So you can pick a recipe off of Pinterest, go to the market, buy all the ingredients, come home, follow everything. And then if you want to get a little spicy, if you want to really push your creativity, you can incorporate an ingredient that's not a part of the recipe and kind of be blown away by the taste of it, whether it's good or not good. If it's good, great. If it's not, great. At least if it's not, you know, okay, maybe I won't try that, but maybe I could try something else next time. That's creative. You know, literally sitting down one day and constructing a playlist for stopping down the street. You feel me? And then when you know that you have to get off the train and it's gonna be 5 blocks for you walking to work, you put that playlist on and you feel the energy that that playlist brings you. Allow yourself to be transported into the world that that playlist creates, that you were very intentional about. You see what I'm saying? After work, going to Blick Arts or Michael's or, you know, whatever, and buying a bunch of paint, color pencils, pastels, all these things. And then you go home, put on some dope music, pour yourself a glass of wine, and you just go hard on a canvas. You go in, you do something with it, and whatever comes out on the other side, just know that you traveled somewhere. See, creativity is movement. And I said this too when I was talking to Janica and Gabrielle. I had to learn about movement because they asked me about me moving from New York to New Orleans and now to California. And I said to myself, and even to them, I think one of the biggest problems that I had prior to moving was that I was very still. Life after grad school and after shooting a short film and trying to find a job, it became still and robotic. I wasn't enticed by the world like I used to be. I was frazzled by it. And so the moment the pandemic hit and then I got to really work that creativity, that's when I came alive again. Like I said, it rejuvenated me. And that rejuvenation, I kept moving with it and creating with it and touching anything that I could. And I reminded myself that this was it. My life was creative. And once I stopped being creative, my life felt just gross. But see, I have dedicated my life to creativity from jump, so much that it's even my career. But there are a lot of people where maybe creativity is not your career. Maybe you don't want it to be your career. You know, or maybe you do, and you're trying to find a way to transition from a job that's very cut and dry 9 to 5 into something that is more creative and in your field. But the tough part about that and making any transition is that unless you give yourself permission to do so, unless you give yourself permission to not feel guilty about being creative, to not feel guilty about taking a nap, to not feel guilty about spending money on a new canvas, on a new paint set, to not feel guilty about wanting to use the last few dollars you got to go see a really good movie, you know, to not feel guilty about, you know, just spending time for an hour laying down and daydreaming, you know, creativity shouldn't make you feel guilty. You should be excited to tap in. So, how do you do that? Well, that's it. First and foremost, you have to give yourself permission to be so. Let's not even talk about getting into your career, right? Because sometimes a lot of people will focus more on how do I survive versus how do I create? So you wanting to get into your creative career will probably be more about, okay, how am I going to make money to survive? Because a lot of times you didn't get into your creative career because you thought that it wasn't going to help you survive. Or someone told you that that was the case. And, you know, you ran with it because you trusted these people. And these people didn't have that creativity that you did, or maybe they did and it didn't work out for them. So it's a projection now that, oh, it's not gonna work for you either. So there's something in your head that makes you believe that you can't survive off this, that this can't be a full-time thing. This can't be your life. And so what I'm telling you right now is in order for you to make that decision of creativity, you have to tell yourself that I am also deciding to give myself permission to choose creativity whenever I see fit. I have to choose creativity. It's mandatory. Get it where you can get it. It could be the smallest things. It could be, you know, buying a Funko figurine that reminds you of your favorite anime or cartoon character, whatever, and decorating your desk at work. You know, like, meet yourself in your creativity. It could be going to the market and buying cassava or yuca and cooking it at home and to make fries out of it because it reminds you of being in the islands that your family came from. It reminds you of a distant home. It could be taking your kids outside with you and teaching them a game that you used to play when you were younger. Double Dutch, tic-tac-toe, catch, whatever. You see what I mean? You could bring other people into your orbit of creativity just to hold yourself accountable. And then there's that, you know, so there's giving yourself permission. And then there's also including people and literally creating a world where creativity is all around you. Doesn't have to be 24/7, but it's around you to a point where it's familiar. Making creativity familiar through the people around you is so important. If you don't have people in your family or in your life, in your home, who are as creative as you, or there's a level of pushback, or your home environment just isn't it, find a group that you can go to. You know, make sure you have friends where maybe you can introduce their creativity to them. Because maybe they done lost it. It's something y'all can do together. Bring your husband, bring your wife, bring your kids, bring your mom, bring your dad, bring your sisters, bring your friends into this orbit and tell them like, yo, this is necessary for us. Look how fun this is. Look how light we feel. Look how excited we are. Having a community within your creativity is integral in this, because they will be reflections and reminders of what life is when you incorporate that creativity. When you decided, I'm going to live a creative life. And look at how, look at what it's done. Look at what it looks like. So you give yourself permission, and within giving yourself permission, you allow other people to be a part of it too. You let people get to play with you. Girl, even in sex. You know, you want to be creative in sex? Because maybe that is how you express yourself? Please do. Buy yourself some new lingerie. Play with some toys. You know, go to a BDSM seminar. You know, talk to people that do things that you've always been really curious about, but you've kind of been afraid to touch. Like, you know, like role play. Like you know what I mean? Like there's so many ways to do this. If you are afraid of public speech, but you've always wanted to do poetry or whatever, join an improv group. Improv groups are one of the best places to learn how to fumble in front of people and how to recover, how to think on the spot, how to walk onto a stage and be ready for anything. So you give yourself permission. You include people in the orbit that you're trying to create within your creativity. And then you do. You create and you allow yourself to experience something that you haven't experienced before in a long time, or that's new and not familiar, and you make it your mission to make it familiar. Creativity should be normal in our lives. So now that you've given yourself permission, included other people in it, this inclusion should be constant. It should be constant. Whether you are always including other people or it's just on your own, it should be constant. It should be constant. Those three things, permission, community, consistency. I'm telling you, when I created this life for myself, when I made that decision, and when that decision enforced the importance of what that decision meant, when I began to live this life and choose every single day that it was going to be creative, my world changed. Even now, I'm taking my time in creativity to teach y'all to be creative. After I'm done recording this, like, you know, I have to do a whole setup. I have to get my earphones. I have to set up the mic. I have to open GarageBand. I have to, you know, press record. Once I'm done speaking, Then I have to edit the audio. Then after I edit the audio, I have to add the music. I have to do this, I have to do that. Then I have to export it. Then I have to add it to Anchor. And then after adding it to Anchor, I have to type up the summary. I have to give it a dope title. All of these things, it's creative, and it's creative work. I come out, drop an episode for y'all, and I feel so accomplished. I feel so good. I feel so good. A job well done. Because I've given myself permission to create this content. I have a community with you guys, and I'm doing it. That's it. Permission, community, consistency. Permission, community, consistency. Those are the three things you need to live a creative life. And in 2020, I don't know, I feel collectively a lot of us, I feel like the pandemic should have, if it hasn't, really shown us the errors of our society and our ways. And I hope has revigorated our imagination for a better tomorrow. And so if you feel like you have lacked this, please listen to that feeling. That feeling is telling you something. That feeling is begging for you to stop ignoring it. It's screaming. Please answer the call. Give yourself permission. Give yourself permission. Give yourself permission to be a creator. And being a creator doesn't mean that you have to sell your creations. That's another big issue. We don't need to profit off of our creations. And let's say you do want to profit off your creations. Let's get used to creating first. Let's spend some time doing trial and error and just playing around with our creativity. Let's be consistent in that creativity to the point where after that, you can create as much as you want. But you cannot go in swinging, ready to make money off the creations when you haven't spent enough time creating. Your confidence is going to be shot. And then you're going to feel bad that you can't create what you want to create. And then you're going to doubt yourself. You're going to think, oh, it's because I'm not good enough. It's because I'm not that. You see, what's the point? Let me just go back to... And then you're in a cycle. Give yourself permission to create with yourself and other people. And to do it constantly. So then it becomes second nature. It becomes normal. And then in that normalcy, you can start pushing it out. So in 2022, we're gonna really work hard to create spaces for each other and ourselves to be creative. And I say this because of the fact that I realized that I needed community again when it came to my screenwriting. I've been working really hard. I gave myself the month off for February when I moved here. I gave myself the month off of February so I could work on my writing portfolio. So then when I finally start working again, in case I meet anybody and they say, hey, you're a writer. Do you have any samples? Do you have any writing? I could just push it to them and say, yeah, I do. Here's my link. And feel confident about what that is. Or even if I don't feel confident about what that is, I still have something to give. So then if my life is ready to change because of that action, I am ready for it. So in doing that, I realized that in order to make sure that I make my writing goals, I have to be around writers. I can't just do this on my own. I have a home office. I can work while I'm home. I can work at a coffee shop, but I think it's also very beneficial to have that community. See, so I gave myself permission to take the month off to work on my portfolio. And now I'm ready to build a community. And so I decided to create a screenwriters group. We're going to meet every weekend, spend about 3 hours working together on our scripts and talking to each other about these stories and where we have a problem and what sounds really great, what works. When an idea comes to us, we kind of like shoot it out to each other to see, hey, do you think that this would work? Having a community, like I said, having a community holds you accountable and it invigorates you because you have other people that are helping you shape your work. I don't believe in there being self-made people. I think we all need each other in order to create. There is no such thing as self-made. Anybody that tries to create on their own all the time, I'm sorry, it's just not healthy. We are beings that need each other. Our creativity doesn't have to be so lonely. It can get there a lot of times, but it doesn't have to stay there. And being a writer does mean that there are going to be many times where you are alone and it's just you, your characters, and the document. So creating a space where a bunch of us can come together and it's not just us, our documents, and our stories only feels good. So, and peep game, I've given myself permission to take the month off so I can work on my stories. I've created a community so we can do that. We can hold ourselves accountable and create together. And it is going to be consistent because it is going to be a weekly get together. So that keeps the fire burning. And in that consistency, we are creating. Anybody could spend the week going to work, doing what they gotta do. But then on Saturdays or on Sundays, it's go time. And I bet you that go time gives them the entire week to think about things, to write notes down and all that kind of stuff. So then when they come back on Saturday or Sunday, they have something to come back with. You see how that works? In 2022, let's live creative lives. Let's live creative lives. Your creative life doesn't have to mean your profession is creative. But let's say you want it to be. Let's do this. This is what you need. Permission, community, consistency. Permission, community, consistency. So with that being said, are you ready to give yourself permission to be creative? And if you are, then of course, keep listening to the podcast. This year, I'm really eager to begin to bring more community here so we can really discuss some things, dig deeper. I also cannot wait to really begin to do my homework and reading, watching, listening to a lot of Black women who have paved the way and who have kind of given themselves so much permission and had so much community and consistently busted out work because that was all they had. Creativity was what got them up in the morning. So I can't wait to really dig deeper and to really squeeze out the possibilities of what the podcast can provide for people, because we ain't sitting down no more on this. Our creativity is our freedom. Expression is our birthright. If we are not expressing ourselves, then we are silencing ourselves, and we ain't got time to silence ourselves anymore. So are you willing to give yourself permission to speak? And I'll leave y'all with that. I will leave you guys with that. So I'm looking forward to the next episode. Looking forward to hearing you guys, talking to you guys. I'm also going to get back on Twitter Spaces as well, so we can have more fluid conversations. If you're in the Los Angeles area, please be on the lookout, because if you do follow me on Twitter and Instagram, I will be posting the flyer out every week for new people, old people to come join the screenwriting group, and we see where that goes, right? But thank y'all so much. I love this. I love y'all. I love us. And I'm excited to be a part of this. I'm excited to have a family in creativity. We gonna make this work. We are determined to make this work. Come hella high water. All right, y'all. It's time for me to go eat. I will talk to you soon. I'll catch y'all online. I'll catch y'all wherever. But I hope you have a beautiful week ahead. And you create something. Bye.